Welcome to The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families, centered on biblical truth and Catholic teaching, because God's kingdom begins at home. Now welcome your hosts, Mari, John, and Craig, here on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Thanks for joining us again here in The Family Room. This is Craig Wiesmeyer, and I'm here with Mari. How's your summer going, by the way?
Fast.
Yeah, way too fast, isn't it? Today we actually have a follow-up show from a show we did earlier with Nick Bernhard. Nick is from Our Lady of the Mountain and up in Jasper, I believe. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a great program up there with Bart Schutz called Church on Fire. And it actually goes even deeper than that. It's Church on Fire, transforming the church through the fire of the Holy Spirit, which I think is awesome. I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think of the topic in general?
I personally am excited. I do want to mention real quickly, if anybody wants to go back and listen to our original show with Nick, it was on July 10th. We had that show if you want to go back and hear more about Nick and his background and the things going on up there at Our Lady of the Mountains. But as far as Church on Fire, the Holy Spirit has been part of the Trinity that I've been close to for a while now. I think Father Cantalamessa, who is the Pope's priest and has been the Pope's personal priest for the last four popes or something, has just some beautiful words about the Holy Spirit. So I love the Holy Spirit. And I do really believe that we are in a time right now where God is just, he wants the church to be on fire, because I think we've been smoldering maybe.
Or out.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like that. And that's talking about us, right?
No,
we are the church. Yep. We're not pointing any fingers. We are all the church. And so I am very passionate, very excited about all the different places I'm seeing the Holy Spirit just catch the church on fire.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about this ministry that Bart Schutz is bringing to Atlanta, to Our Lady of the Mountains, and talking more about it.
No, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, no, it's you know, we say the Come Holy Spirit prayer often, and enkindle us the fire of your love. So I think that's really important. And I get the whole idea of being on fire with God's love and bringing it into the world today. So before we bring in both Bart and Nick, would you open us in a prayer, since our brother John is not here today?
I know. He always does a beautiful job.
He does. You do as well.
Yes. Okay, here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you, and we thank you. We thank you especially for the gift of Pentecost. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who has been with you from the very beginning, from all of creation and beyond before, but also for the gift that you've given us, each one of us, baptized into you, that you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift, the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives within each and every one of us, Lord. And I just pray that during our conversation today and in the days to come, that people are re-enkindled, that they do understand the mighty power that lives within them, that you offer them, and you offer them to be able to share your love and your life and your abundant joy with all of humanity, so that your kingdom would be here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Father and the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Beautiful. Folks, as we said, you know, you can go back and listen to the show with Nick Bernhard and listen to his bio. So I'm going to focus on Bart Schutz. He is the founder of Church on Fire. He's been associated with John Paul II Healing Center with his brother Bob since its very beginning. And he's done over 200 life-transforming events across the United States. He's been in ministry for 30 years. He grew up Catholic, drifted away a little bit in college, like many of us have, or our children may be doing right now. But during an NFL career, he had a powerful encounter with the Father's love that really transformed his life. And I'll let him talk more about that. Bart is married to Brooke. They have four children, Hannah, Gabrielle, like my daughter, thank God.
Yeah.
Kaylee and Joshua. Somebody said about it, there's a couple things I want to say, because I think this is even more important than his bio. Somebody said, Bart is one of the most passionate men for God that I know. His heart is for people to live into the fullness of who they are called to be. And I think this one for me, why do you want to go to this event and why do you want to hear Bart? If you don't mind me reading this verbatim, Bart Schutz is one of the most dynamic and compelling speakers in the church today. It's a big statement. Not merely as a teacher, but as a powerful witness of how the struggles, joys, and victories of Christ look in the life of a Christian. This is by Rory Clark from the Lansing Diocese, who invited him here. And Father Paul from Washington said, more than any priest or layperson he's ever listened to, Bart Schutz has a gift to speak to the sleeping giant that lay dormant within the hearts of men and women to roar like a lion. I mean, I think that's some of the most compelling statements you can say about anybody. So without further ado, Bart and Nick, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Greg, Molly. How you doing, Nick?
Good, good. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me again.
We are very glad to have both of you. And, you know, Craig just mentioned those quotes from people who've experienced. So I do want to make sure that people do know that Bart is bringing his Church on Fire event to Our Lady of the Mountains on August 8th through 10th. So the evening of August 8th, and then all day August 9th, and then August 10th as well, this year, 2024. And so you can go to OLM, which stands for Our Lady of the Mountains, Jasper, olmjasper.org, and then just scroll to the current upcoming events, and you'll be able to sign up. So with that kind of intro, I think people want to go, okay, but how do I get there? What do I do to get there? So I just want to mention that real quickly. So we are very thankful that both of you are with us. And as Craig said, last time we visited with Nick, he got to tell us all about his faith journey. So, Bart, we would love for you to share with our listeners your faith journey. We often start with this with our guests because as Catholics, I think sometimes we don't often do that. And it's great for us to be able to share our testimony of what God has done in our lives. And it just brings such hope and encouragement to people who may have faced some of the same things. So would you share with our listeners your faith journey?
Sure. And I might have to go back and listen to Nick. I want to hear your story, Nick. but thanks, Mari. I loved your introduction there. We were talking about the Holy Spirit. And that is a passion of mine as well. So my faith journey, that can take a while. So actually at the event, I'll share probably about a 45-minute version of my testimony. So I'll try not to do that to you guys right now. So like a lot of people listening, maybe not all, but some, I grew up in a Catholic family, like I jokingly say, a perfect Catholic family. You know what those are like, right? And somehow we thought that was true. I'm not sure how when I look back at our story. But good family, mom, dad, seven kids. My mom and dad had seven kids by the time they were 30. Very involved in the church, active. We all went to Catholic schools, middle schools, high schools, just very involved, just your solid, large Catholic family from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Things were good. My faith was just what I did. I was born in Pittsburgh. I was the sixth and I was Catholic. And that's just kind of how I saw it. And all my older brothers and sisters, I watched them. I didn't watch them get baptized, but I watched them, go through their process of First Communion, confirmation. And by the time it came along to me, the sixth, I just knew that's what I was going to do, And so I was already baptized. And then I went First Communion. Then I went confirmation. And, check, check, check. And there we go. And so we had some situations happen in our family. My dad left when I was five. We moved from Pittsburgh to Miami. And there's a lot of detail I go into that with my testimony. But to keep it accurate to the faith journey, in Miami, I went to a Catholic middle school, went to a Catholic high school, which was actually in Jacksonville, Florida. And we went to Mass every Sunday, pretty much. I had the idea my grandmother would say, if you don't go to Mass, you're going to go to hell. So, of course, I didn't want to go to hell, so I went to Mass. That's just kind of how it was for me. I did not know of anything of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't even call myself a Christian. I was just a Catholic, and that's kind of how I grew up. And so by the time I got into college, I had walked away from the church. I'd walked away from God and just lived for myself. And I was a college football player at a place called Florida State. And
Florida State.
Yes. And just kind of lived that unfortunate, stereotypical life of a college athlete. And just going out 3-4 nights a week and just totally serving myself. And every now and again, I'd show up at church, but there wasn't much to it. And then I actually joined different ministry groups, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I went to a Baptist church. I got saved twice in the Baptist church. went to a Methodist church. I mean, I was just constantly searching is the bottom line there, but totally lost. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned in the bio and the intro, my dream was to play in the NFL, and it was while I was in the locker room of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In case anyone wonders, I did not make it. But this was a turning point in my life. And there I cried out to God. I said, God, I just need to know if you're real. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've grew up hearing about you. I saw Jesus dead on the cross. You know, he died for me 2,000 years ago. But I need to know if you're real. Like, what good does that do me right now? If you're real, please, I'm desperate. Show yourself real to me. I was tired of my life. I was tired of the just all the partying and all the things that I was doing. And I just wanted something different. And so I tried the one thing that I knew from growing up. I said, God, if you're real, show yourself real. And so a week later, my NFL dream ends. I go back to school at Florida State. And I'm playing golf with my brother, Bob. You mentioned Bob, the founder of the J.P. Tuning Center. He's 8 years older than me. We do ministry together. But at the time, Bob was just, you know, good, steady, faithful Catholic guy. I jokingly say, you know, Bob was Catholic before he was born. Bob's always been that good, faithful guy. And I think once he stole a pack of, he stole some candy and smoked a cigarette or something. You know, that's about as bad as it gets for Bob, I say jokingly. But, and then there's me, you know. And so Bob invites me to go play golf. And while we're playing golf, Bob's telling me about a men's weekend that he went on. And I'm listening, which was a surprise to him that I was listening. So he kept feeding me and kept telling me more and more. And I'm intrigued by these men's lives and the story and the encounters that they had with God and how they gave their lives to Christ. And I'm like, I'm listening. So Bob doesn't know that just a few weeks ago, while I was on the toilet in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room, I cut out the dog. And so here I am, and Bob's telling me, and eventually he gets the point. He says, you know, Bob, Bart, there's another one of these weekends coming up. Would you like to go? And to his surprise, I said, yeah, I'll go. And I figured if I made the prayer, I might as well give it a shot. So here on this weekend, actually in Bob's arms, the way it turns out, I encountered the Father's love very profoundly. And you mentioned the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit filled the room up, 50 men in the room. Every man in the room is weeping. And I'm in Bob's arms and I'm weeping as I'm feeling God's presence. And then I hear God speak to me in a still small voice. And he says, Bart, I'm your father. Mm. I'm a father to the fatherless and I love you. And I just actually lost it. Mm. And I was just weeping in my brother's arms, feeling God's love, feeling his presence. And I realized at that moment that what I'd been looking for my entire life was the Father. Mm. And growing up, my mom would always say, you know, but God's your father. And I'd be like, yeah, Mom, whatever. You know, I don't have a dad. You know. And here it was, God himself, the Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus just encountered me. And I just right then went to confession. And I was there for a little while. And after confession, I told Father Mike, I said, you know, I just a few weeks ago, I was in the locker room of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the locker room, and I cried out to God, and I said, I want to know if you're real. And I said, here today, you saw it. Father Mike was there witnessing it. I said, today, God showed himself real to me. Mm-hmm. And I encountered the Father's love more profoundly than I ever knew existed, and I want to give my life to Christ. And here, this priest, after confession, leads me in a prayer, and I surrender my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. And then it was a journey. I had about a year to year and a half. It was what I call just a honeymoon phase, you know, where God was just so present and so real in my life. I went to many things. I went to an institute of ministry. I went to various prayer ministry sessions. I just was so hungry and really on fire. And a lot of cool stories, a lot of cool things happened in that season of my life. But I thought this was going to be the rest of my life. Like, you know, God was just going to be so evident and so present and just, I mean, like supernaturally providing for me, opening doors for me, leading me places. I mean, there's so many stories I could tell about that. But just like, wow, man, this is awesome. I didn't know that what I was missing. And this is just so cool. And then what I now call the wilderness phase happened. or as we like to say in the Catholic Church, you know, the dark night of the soul. And that went on for quite a while. And I look back on that, and it wasn't, I was still following Jesus. I was still faithful, still very committed. But I wasn't feeling him as much. I wasn't aware of his presence as much. And that was an interesting time. But I look back on that time, and so much growth, so much happened within me. He was going really deep within me in that time. A lot of healing, a lot of emotional healing, a lot of various things happening, which I'll kind of stay there for just to stay on the point of my faith journey. And you had mentioned in my bio, I grew up Catholic and then drifted away. So I walked away in college, and then I came back. It was a Catholic men's event, came back to the church, and then I went to an institute of ministry, and then it was interdenominational. And then I went, 20-some years in what I just called the larger body of Christ. And I never considered myself not a Catholic. I didn't separate any more Catholic from Christian. And as best I knew, I was following Jesus Christ. And in that time, also developed a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, and learned a lot. And I learned, actually came back to the Catholic Church probably 14 years ago, I guess it's been now. And what I realize now looking back is I actually learned to become a better Catholic in my 25 years in the interdenominational churches. And I had a lot of profound experiences that I did not have growing up in the Catholic Church for whatever reason. And I had those experiences in outside the Catholic Church. And so then when I came back in the Catholic Church, and there's stories around that, but just for the sake of time, I felt the Lord was saying to me that he wanted me to do this ministry and to he wanted to equip his church for a move of his Spirit. And he was inviting me, among many others, yourselves included, to be a part of that. And so I asked him, I said, well, Lord, where are these things in the Catholic Church? Where are these things that I experienced outside the Catholic Church? Where are they in the Catholic Church? And then I started to dive into the catechism. And I was very pleasantly surprised. I was both excited and frustrated in what I discovered. I was excited because it gave me a language of some of the experiences that I had, and it gave me a language in a Catholic context on what it was I was experiencing. And I was excited that not only was this very Catholic, but it was it fit all my other experiences. And so I was able to put experience with truth, which made me much more grounded and much more balanced. But I was frustrated because I realized, wait a minute, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic middle schools. I went to Catholic high schools. I went to Mass every Sunday. How come no one ever told me about this? And it made me mad. And I remember in prayer taking that to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't understand this. This is in the teachings of the Catholic Church. How come I did not experience it in my Catholic schools and in church? And I don't know that I got an answer, but I have a great passion. And so a lot of the fire and the passion that burns within me is to see the church come into everything that Jesus purchased for us through his death and his resurrection, that we would live in the fullness of our 2,000-year history, that there's so much that God intends for us as his people, and yet so many of us, and I say Catholics, but beyond Catholics, and my whole experience of the body of Christ, I believe we're living short of all that Jesus intends for us. And so Church on Fire, the fire there is kind of a combination of things. It's fire as in there's a burning fire and a passion within my heart. There's an ache that the Father has asked me and invited me to share. There's a desire and a passion for Jesus, for his beautiful bride. There's a fire and a passion for the Holy Spirit to be more embraced and more received. And there's a fire as in the Church talks about fire. And the Catechism in paragraph 696, it says, fire is the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit's actions, that the fire of the Holy Spirit transforms what he touches. And I'm seeing that happening. I'm seeing God do this in the church. I'm seeing it really pretty much everywhere I go, but not just everywhere I go, you guys can attest to this yourselves in your own journey. And Mari, I heard you explaining your journey with a psychologist. I really believe that we're living in one of the finest hours in the history of the church.
Yeah.
And that God is setting his church on fire, and that the Holy Spirit wants his church back.
Yeah.
And
well
that he's bringing us as his people into what Jesus purchased for us through his death and through his resurrection. And so that's my journey. That's my passion. I connected a couple things together for you. I don't know if that's what you're looking for. But,
that was a journey around the world and back again.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Folks, you're in the family room and you're listening to Bart Schutz talking about his faith journey, but also talking about his ministry in Church on Fire. A couple of things interesting, Mari, and guys, that I heard in that too, which I love, is the fact that I was checking boxes. Mm-hmm. How many times in our faith, because mm-hmm. we have so much richness in our faith, we check boxes, but we lack the personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
The theme again, you know, and again, I kind of grew up in the charismatic renewal part of the church due to my mother. And that brings you to that personal, and you talked about a personal relationship with Christ, not just I said the prayers, I said my rosary 15 times, I met Christ personally. And what I really loved, and I see in men in particular, and I actually am seeing in more women, the lack of a theme of fatherhood, because we as fathers have screwed up, and I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but I think we screwed up in so many ways that guys don't know what it's like to be embraced by a father. Girls certainly don't. And you mm-hmm. see the disintegration in our families because of that. So I love the way you brought those together, because I mean, I think that's huge. And without that, you wouldn't be where you are today, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of us can probably empathize and sympathize. And it's at our experience as well. You know, mine's very similar to you in that I had a retreat. I went on a retreat when I was about 23. At a Catholic retreat, experienced God in a whole new way, totally turned my life over, was looking for more, and I couldn't find it in the church. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I never walked away. I still went to Mass. I still served in numerous ministries, but I too went to our Christian brothers and sisters and other denominations to learn more Bible study, to learn more about, you know, just learn how to pray, learn how to have that personal relationship. And God filled me with so much, but he made it very clear to me that I was to stay in his church and to bring all that into his church. So Craig and I both have a very similar heart for what you're doing. I know, Nick, when we talked to you last time, you have that same similar heart to just bringing into the church. Like, I love that when you said, we're living short. And one of the things that we say here on the Family Room is we want people to live with the abundance, with the abundant joy, with the abundant life that Christ has offered us. So we love the idea of what you're doing in the ministry. Craig, I think you had a thought.
Yeah, no,
for that.
It was because what keeps popping up, and I love your partnership, I'll call it, with your brother. There's two main themes that you have talked about in your own testimony: healing and then hope because of the Holy Spirit, which I think is interesting, being the spouse of Our Lady. You got the two of them coming together again, and you talk about, you know, healing in the work that you and Bob are doing together. Can you dive into that a little bit more so people can understand what you mean by that and how that's coming to fruition in your ministry?
Yeah, so I believe, as I was saying earlier, I believe we're living in one of the finest hours in the history of the church, and I believe we're living in a major move of God as God is doing a great work in us. And I believe in this season of time, it's a time of cleansing, a time of healing. You know, we've seen a lot of things being exposed. We've seen a lot of things happening. And we're witnessing through the JP2 Healing Center witnessing, and I believe there's others. I've talked to many others that are witnessing that it seems like God is bringing a lot of healing to his people.
Yeah.
So he's healing his church. He's healing. He's restoring. He's redeeming. Through the work that I'm doing with my brother Bob and Sister Mary James Heidlin, you know, with the JP2 Healing Center and others as a team of people, as we're traveling around and doing events, the Healing Old Person and various other events, we're seeing people by the hundreds receiving healing. And by healing, I'm witnessing spiritual healing, you know, just encountering the Father, coming to Christ, the fullness of the Spirit. We're seeing physical healings. We're seeing a lot of physical healings, actually, a lot. And then seeing a lot of emotional healing. So deep, deep healing. And then we do work with priests and with religious and others, and we're seeing a lot of healing happening there as well. And I just believe it's just God just really preparing and healing his church and healing his people. And I think he's setting us up for something really awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. So just so people do know, how do people, if they are interested in some of that work that you and Bob and Sister Miriam are doing, how do they access that?
Yeah, so the JP2 Healing Center, it's JP2, that's small I, healingcenter.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then my ministry, aside from that, is Church on Fire, and that's churchonfire.live. L-I-V-E. They ran out of com and org.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know that.
Didn't either.
That's actually, I love that. Live.
Church on Fire Live. I like that better.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I found that, I was like, cool. Yeah.
That's very cool. You know, it's interesting. I think we are also witnessing, and for those listeners out there, you know, just keep looking for it. God is there, and He is doing amazing things. I was literally just at a conference 2 weeks ago, and I saw the same thing. I saw healing happen, and I saw people take out their hearing aids and throw them on the stage and drop their crutches and walk. And usually it's only in, when I talk to friends, it's only in like Central America or South America or Africa where you're seeing that. I think we're finally getting hungry enough here in the United States. I think we're finally maybe being humbled enough by what's going on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to, I know what you speak about, right? If my people who hear my voice, will they humble themselves and repent, and then I will heal the land. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, I just real quick to that is what I'm finding is, you know, God is with us. He says, I'm with you. He's with us always, right? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And yet we pray, as you guys mentioned earlier, I pray before every event, the same prayer you guys mentioned, the come Holy Spirit, you know, come Holy Spirit, fill the heart of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your love. And what I'm realizing and what I'm seeing is as people are genuinely calling out and crying out, He's showing up. He's coming.
Yeah.
And you say, well, He's already there. Well, I believe He's increasing our receptivity. And so through the humility, through the healing, through the brokenness, He's increasing our receptivity. And I think that's increasing then the manifestation of His healing and His presence that's coming.
Great.
I agree.
Listeners, you are here in the family room with Bart Schutz. Please join us. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
We'll be right back in the family room, sponsored by VerseBright, right after this.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
I'm Father Tony Blunt from the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. This is one of my favorite prayers, the Act of Faith. Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches because you have revealed them to our eternal truth and wisdom, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. In this faith, I intend to live and die. Amen.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Think of the most famous unplanned pregnancy. Mary, a poor unmarried teenager, accepted God's will for her life. Her unplanned pregnancy brought us the Savior of the world. Just as Mary said yes to life, the mothers of Tim Tebow, Beethoven, Nick Cannon, and JP2 all rejected abortion for their child. Yet all of them have impacted the world through their lives. To the families feeling burdened by an unplanned pregnancy, have faith in God's plan. All babies are made in the image and likeness of God. Let every child be born, for the birth of every child changes the world. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
This is Lisa Popcheck from More to Life. Catholic radio changes lives. It's for you, with you, every single day. Whether you're rejoicing over something and you need a community to share that with, or you're struggling with something and you need a community to support you, we're here for you every day to teach you about your faith and to help you live it. This is your home, and we're always here for you. Thanks to our friends at EWTN, our programming is provided free of charge, but this station has other expenses that must be paid to keep the doors open and the lights on. Support of your local Catholic radio station helps keep shows like More to Life available in your area. No matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of Catholic radio. Please prayerfully consider making a gift right now. We'll talk to you soon.
To donate, log on to thequestatlanta.com.
Hello, this is Father Joe Wagner, a priest of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. Thank you for listening to your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest. God bless you.
Welcome back to The Family Room with Mari, John, and Craig. Sponsored by Verse Bright on AM 1160, The Quest.
We are here with Bart Schutz and Nick Bernhard. And Bart is talking to us about his own personal experience, his own fire and passion for bringing more of the Holy Spirit into our church and us being really walking more fully into our faith, but also his ministry, Church on Fire. And we'll hear more about that in a few minutes. But we always ask our guests for their favorite family memory. Nick, last week, or 2 weeks ago, Nick shared with us his favorite family memory. But Bart, we would love to hear one of your favorite family memories.
Well, as you asked me that, there's a memory that comes back, and I'll kind of touch on when I was a kid and then to now. Real fast, but I'm just remembering when we were all together, all seven of us, with my mom and dad in Pittsburgh. You know, every Christmas, my mom would make us these matching red gowns, and we would wear those for Christmas. We'd all line up in age, and then I remember before we were able to go down to open up gifts, we're all lined up on the stairs in the order of age, you know, in our matching matching gowns. And so that was a memory that just came back. You know, with my wife and four kids, you know, I've got so many great memories. So my wife and I are just now, over this last month, are empty nest, you know, in a process of that, as our youngest just went off to play college football. And so we're dealing with that reality of being empty nest. And so we're figuring out how to get to know each other again. And but we see our kids, oh, gosh, I know, we were just all together over the 4th of July. We see them probably every month and a half. Mm. But I have so many great memories. I can go on for hours talking about my kids and the memories that we have together. But just God's healing and God's redemption, and just to see the fruit of that is just phenomenal.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Where is your son going off to college to play football?
The University of Texas at El Paso.
Wow. All right. Good for him.
Yeah. So it's far away.
Yeah. Good for him.
20 hours down I-10.
Oh, wow.
If someone would have said your son's going to go to play college football right off I-10, I'd have been so excited. And then I would have pictured him.
Thought the wrong place.
Florida State, but he's 21 hours down I-10. So it's quite a trip.
We got to ask Nick a question here. Poor Nick has been on hold. Nick, why don't you come in and talk about, you know, the event, I think it is, that that's going on, and clarify some of the dates and timing, because I think we may have miscommunicated that early on.
Yeah, and also I'd just like to hear your heart a little bit, Nick, because I know you actually heard Bob speak at Bart, sorry. You heard Bart speak at an event, and which is why you were so excited to invite him. So yeah, speak to us about what resonated with you, and then more clarification on the days and the times of the event here in Jasper.
Yeah, sure. So I'll clarify the dates and times. Bart is coming to Our Lady of the Mountains Catholic Church in Jasper, and he will be there August 8th, 9th, and 10th. And the event schedule is the evening of the 8th, the evening of the 9th, and then the first half of the day, or about 9 to 1 o'clock on Saturday. Thursday night and Friday night will build off of each other, and then Saturday will actually be Bart's program called Day of Equipping. The Day of Equipping program, or engagement, is actually the one that I personally experienced. And it was in a little town, was it Joliet? We were right out of the suburb of Chicago. It was the first time I ever met Bart. My wife actually had the pleasant experience of meeting Bart first, or at least attending an event that he spoke at. So we've both been to the JP2 Healing the Whole Person experience. Independently of each other, we did not go together as a couple. And so she came back from her retreat and said, you got to hear this guy, Bart. He's this, he's that. And so I listened to a few videos and whatnot. And then, but she said, but you got to go for yourself. You got to meet him in person. And so, of course I did. So It was during the day of equipping engagement at a break where I just walked up to Bart and introduced myself and said, hey, here is who I am and what I'm doing at my parish in Georgia. Would you be willing to come? And just very kindly and very confidently just said, yeah, if we can come up with a date, I'll be there. And so over the last several months, Bart and I have been working together and trying to plan this event and getting to know each other a little bit more. And so he will be coming August 8th, 9th, and 10th. It'll be a few hours on the evening of the 8th, a few hours on the 9th, and then the majority of the day on the 10th. So as far as the event goes, that's that. Why this is important to me, and Bart kind of touched on this when he said he's witnessing not only spiritual healing and physical healing, but also emotional healing. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned in my last interview or when this aired a couple weeks ago, I'm doing a lot of things with men at our parish, particularly a program called That Man Is You, which is a weekly meeting for men. And what I've noticed not only through that, but also through my own personal experience and what Bart spoke to earlier is a lot of us are walking through life with no real positive male role model. A lot of us come from broken homes. A lot of us suffer from the feeling of abandonment, the feeling of feeling like you didn't meet your dad's standards. You never experienced that true masculine love that you should experience from your father or from your grandfather, or just a positive real male role model. And I think oftentimes we can find that in our Lord, but we don't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we need other men's vulnerability to explain or share how they got to finding our Lord and finding that comfort and that love that he offers us. You know, through the sacrament of confession and reconciliation, he receives us back like Bart experienced with us weeping and us falling into his arms with that loving embrace, but we don't know how to get there. And so Bart kind of, in a sense, and you know, I don't want to give him the big head, but, you know,
I'll go ahead.
He does an exceptional job of just explaining that in terms in which any man can understand. And when you hear his testimony, when you hear the fire that he's walked through in his own life and with his own family experiences and the trials and tribulations that he's overcome, you can't help but feel inspired. You can't help but feel like, man, you know, that's a guy that has seen the world, that has experienced, quote unquote, what the world says that you should accomplish by the time that you're 25 or 30 or whatever. And you realize that it's so empty. It's such a lie. The world is trying to sell us a bill of goods that's going to get us nowhere. And so his vulnerability, his witness, his testimony, the work that his brother is doing, it truly is an opportunity for men, especially, to heal from the emotional wounds and trauma that we have experienced in the latest couple generations of fatherlessness and broken homes. And, you know, like we talked in the last podcast, moms can't be dads. As hard as they try and as much as they want to be, they just simply can't. And that's no fault of them. It's just God created man and woman together to bring life and bring unity to a child. And they both offer something special. And in a father, it's determination, it's stability, but it's that masculine love that our father offers us. And our society just doesn't have any idea what that looks like right now. Mm. And so through Bart's work, coupled with what we're doing at the parish, we really are trying to bring men, especially closer to Christ, so that they can go out and like the disciples, bring that love to other men and bring us all back to the church.
Great. Thank you so much. And just to remind listeners, if you go to olmjasper.org and scroll down to upcoming events, you'll be able to see how to sign up to come to the retreat. So thank you for that witness of what you've experienced through Bart's work. Thank you so much, Nick.
And I know this is going to get me in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. it's interesting, though, when I look at you and I hear your testimony, both of you, you know, and Bart, you played college football at a major level. you're a man's man. And I know this could be offensive to some people, but I think we grew up with an image of Christ that we've seen in paintings with the red hair and the blue eyes, and he looks like a girl, all due respect. And we think about the fishermen that, you know, Jewish people, they must be tiny, they must be slight, they must be whatever. And I don't think we've ever dove into the reality of, you know, Christ being a carpenter, woodworker, craftsman. He had to be tough. He had to be strong. He had to be very masculine. He went up to a bunch of guys that lived on a sea that were tough as nails. And for us as guys, that's an attractive thing. And we've been feminized throughout the process. The church has got a beautiful heart, a feminine heart. We've lost the masculine heart of the church. And I find it interesting when, you know, we're taught through the church that God's not going to destroy the world again through water. He's going to do it through fire. But my understanding of it is not the end of the world from the, you know, the earth is going to go away. But I think it's that fire of his love that you've talked about that's going to ignite us where we become Christ-like, our heart mimics him, and the world becomes the vision that Christ intended it to be. Now, they know theologically, they may not be sound, but to your point, I think it's through that Holy Spirit that he is lighting people on fire. I mean, church on fire, right, can be two things. Yeah. It's either being purified or it's burning down, or maybe it's a combination of both. Yeah. And I think that you're certainly talking about that. So talk to us a little bit more about, quite honestly, I don't think people understand a true experience of the Holy Spirit. I really don't. I think it's rare, especially in our church, because like you said, we are traditional and we may be cultural, but we're not living the fullness of God. And last thing I'm going to say, I don't think we've pressed God to be who he really is. I think we've put him in these tiny boxes and not said, but you're the God of the universe. You can do anything. Would you talk a little bit about your experience with the Holy Spirit personally and what that's done for you and what you're seeing?
First, before I do that, I want to say a couple things. I appreciate your comments about, you know, Jesus and the image of Jesus and, you know, the masculine heart. And, you know, it's you know, Nick, I remember when Nick came up to me, you know, Nick is another, he's just, you could just look at him, you know, Nick is a man's man. He's a successful guy. But he's humble. He's just a cool dude just by looking at him, you know. And Craig, as I look at you and I see and I hear your words, it's like, again, you know, here's a man's man. And you know, with the church, it's like there's this image of Jesus, like you said. It's like, how did we get this idea that he's long hair, blue eyes, white skin, and yet from the Middle East? And how did we get this idea that he's emaciated, that he's about 110 pounds, you know, and passive? It's like, it's just not, like you said, he's a carpenter. And no one, I play college football, like you said, at a high level, and I don't know a man that's tough enough to go through what Jesus did for us. And the enemy didn't defeat him. He willfully gave himself, and out of his love and out of his power and out of his grace, you know. But I also wanted to clarify, you know, as we're talking about men, this isn't just a men's event, right, Nick? This is for everybody. This is for everybody. But I think the point there is just this image of Jesus and who he is, and a father who is powerful and yet tender and loving is very attractive to me. And so anyway, back to what you're saying about the Holy Spirit. You were saying about fire, and Luke 12:49, Jesus says, I came. It's one of the reasons he came. I came to cast fire upon the earth. And how I wished it was already ablaze. How I wished it was already kindled. What does he mean? Like you said, fire purifies, and fire is also the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit's actions. And I believe the day that we're living in is we're going to see the reality of that fire. We are seeing the reality of that fire as he's cleansing, as he's purging, as he's healing, but as he's also igniting and setting us on fire with the hope, with the passion, with the fire and the love and the joy and the fruit of the life of the Spirit of God. You were saying about, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit. I talk about this at the event, so please come. You'll hear this more fully, especially in the day of equipping that Nick was speaking of. But I go and I talk about the fullness of confirmation. What is confirmation intended to be? And as I travel around the country and I ask people after I get done teaching what the church says, how many of you was this your experience?
3 to 5 people will raise their hand, whether it's 20 people in the room or 1,000. It's almost always 3 to 5 people. I don't know why, but it's a very small percentage of people that actually experienced what the church says confirmation is. I believe it's 1302 of the Catechism. It says confirmation is the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost.
Exactly.
Yet that's not what we're experiencing.
Nope.
That's one of the examples of where we're falling short of what Jesus intended. You know, the other thing I say to balance this, because I've experienced a lot of different things, I like to say at the Day of Equipping, say no to weird.
Yeah.
You know? When you take the supernatural things of God and you mix them in the brokenness of man, it can come out weird. I'm not talking about weirdness here. I'm talking about the reverent presence of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love and the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus wants to set us on fire.
Yeah. He does.
You know, I think it's important to note that this almost seems strange to hear, because we've been in a landscape of effeminacy in the church. The homilies that we hear now, the things that we hear coming from our clergy, are so much softer. And I don't mean that in disparaging. It's just as much as it's factual. The homilies that we hear, you don't hear any of that fire and passion and oomph, if you will, coming from the ambo. And so, like you mentioned, this
starting
is
to change.
It is starting to change. It is. But like you mentioned, no, this is not a men's exclusive event. Right. Although I would say that I think that our men stand to benefit the most from it. You know, like most things, all of us who have a woman in our life, they're usually the one who makes the move first, and then we tail behind them. At least that was my experience in my own life, and my wife led the charge. And so, you know, we certainly need our ladies in the church, but golly, we need our men right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the only woman in the room, I can go ahead. First of all, the first thing I have to say is, actually, my image of Jesus at this point in my life is Jonathan Rumi. I just have to say that. Yeah. So all of you Chosen fans out there, right? And
you know,
he's
I have to say, our parish is in possession of something special. And that's actually when Catherine and I first moved here and we were looking for a parish to join, the crucifix that is above our altar might be the best crucifix I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is wounded, which you don't see much anymore. He is muscular, and it is, I would say, life size or larger.
Wow.
And he looks like a man.
Mm.
And so that's something that when you go and you walk down the aisle and you're headed to the altar and you're getting ready to receive him in communion, you see a man.
That's powerful.
So, you know, if nothing else, if you come to the event, at least just come and at least experience.
I was just going to say, at least go to Our Lady of the Mountains in Jasper to see the crucifix there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So if you are just tuning in, we've been within our last 10 minutes or so of our show here. We've been enjoying our time here with Bart Schutz and Nick Bernhardt. And we were talking about Church on Fire. You know, and I do have to speak just from a woman's perspective. I think it is true, Nick, what you just said. Women have often taken the lead, you know, in spiritual life for many years. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know if the heart of a woman is just a little bit more willing to be open to what God offers or what it might be. But we want our men to step up. We want all men to step up because we are in partnership, right? And so my husband steps up in beautiful ways that are different from the way that I step up. And he is the one who reminds me once in a while that our son needs a kick in the butt, you know. and then other times I'm the one who's the hard one. But we both serve and we both are called in different ways. But I do believe that all of us do need emotional healing. We need spiritual healing. Yeah. Some of us need physical healing. God desires that for every single one of us. And I know we briefly ask you this, but stories are always great. So, Bart, are there any special stories that you can share that would offer hope for our listeners, what's going on today, or even any miracles that you've seen as you've gone through and you've given more than 200 of these events for people?
Yeah, boy, I could go on for a while there. So let's see if I can bring this together here. I'll just give a recent experience at one of the events, just from a big collective room experience. There was probably about 1,000 people in the room. Mm-hmm. We had been through a weekend of just listening to
people speak and watching God do some profound things. And so it's near the very end. And I asked the people, so how many of you, like 1,000 people in the room, how many of you did you experience healing? Did you experience emotional healing? And it must have been 90% of the people raised their hands. So you just see hands all over the auditorium. Mm. How many of you experienced spiritual healing? And again, probably 80% of the room. Did anyone experience physical healing? And about 30% of the room raised their hand. And then I said, okay, let's pray one more time. So I'm teaching the people, equipping and saying, let's just pray with one another and how simple it is. And that's a lot of what we'll do on the day of equipping is just the simplicity of this. And just had people just pray with one another. Again, very reverent, very holy, very Catholic, not weird. And just loving one another and praying with one another. And then after that, I asked again, how many just now received either spiritual, physical, or emotional healing? And hands went up all around the room. Mm-hmm. And this is just normal. Mm-hmm. This is normal. I like to say this is normal Catholic living.
Yeah.
Living short of that is not what Jesus intended. It's happening all over the place. I could tell you countless stories of people healed, metal pins and plates in their back, bending over, touching their toes, cancer, stage 4 cancer healed, limbs growing. I mean, it's just watching God, like you described earlier, people dropping their crutches and, you know, taking out their hearing aids. You know, this is just what Jesus does. This is what he did. This isn't what he did 2,000 years ago. This is what he does now. He said in John 14:12, those who believe in me will do the things that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let's be the church.
Exactly. And as you said earlier, Pentecost happened and Pentecost has not stopped happening. That same.
It hasn't stopped.
No. And I think there was a period of history in the church where we taught that, oh, some of those extraordinary healings only happened in the first couple hundred years to get the church going. Right. But no, Jesus wants that for all of us, right? He totally was.
It's happening everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening everywhere. Come to this event and just encounter what Jesus is doing.
Yeah. We are so excited for that.
That's what happens when you step out in faith and belief, right?
It is.
I mean, how duplicitous we are. I'm the guy myself. I mean, I claim I grew up in certain aspects of the church, and it's like, oh, but does God really want to do that? I don't know that he really wants to do that. And I think his message has been very, very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the other thing is you're seeing evil exposed. I think God's pulling down the veils and saying, here's the devil. He's real. I'm going to show you because these idiots want to tell you how awesome this is. Well,
that's right.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
So let's call people to be who they're truly supposed to be.
Yeah, who they're called to be. And the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that his name is so powerful. Amen. Amen.
Can I just add something real quick just to balance it? Because, you know, earlier, Craig, you had mentioned that you had a daughter that you went through some health things, and I have a daughter that went through some health things, and a son who just had the ending surgery. And here I am talking about, you know, these thousands of people, hundreds of people receiving healing. There's a quote in the Catechism that says, no matter how fervent the prayer, not all prayer results in physical healing. And that has given me so much peace and given me a language. As many healings and miracles as I've seen, I've also seen many not healed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Who knows? God is God, and yet, when you give an opportunity, I'd rather give a chance and give a chance to see God do something than not try at all.
Exactly.
And as we're doing that, as we're stepping out in faith, and I'm not even the one doing it. It's the people doing it. We're watching God bring amazing, amazing healing of all types. And so just last little exhortation, come.
Come.
Experience it for yourself.
Yep.
Young people, old people, come.
Perfect. That's a good place to end it. And Bart, if you don't mind, or Nick, whomever, can you close us with a really short prayer that we can bless our family with?
Sure. Nick, you want to do it? You want me to do it?
Bart, you got it, brother.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. You are so, so good. Help us to encounter your love and your goodness. Everyone listening, Lord, may we each encounter your amazing love and your amazing goodness. Jesus, how can we thank you enough for all that you've done for us? Fully God, yet you lowered yourself in your divinity. You dwelt among us as a man. You showed us the ways of the kingdom. You showed us the ways of the Father. You died. You conquered sin, evil, and the grave. You rose from the grave, and then you send us your Spirit, the same Spirit that lived within you, you sent to live within us, that we've received through our baptism, through our confirmation. We have received the fullness of your presence, and we ask that you would increase that measure within us so that we can live into your mission and do the things that you've called us to do.
Lord, awaken your church. Holy Spirit, have your church back. Lord Jesus, may your bride be so beautiful that you will be passionate about the suffering that you've endured for the joy that was set before you. Father, lead us, guide us, and Lord, just awaken the hearts of your people. Bring your church into all that you have for us, and pray your blessings upon us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bart Schutz, Nick Bernhardt, thank you so much for being here in the Family Room. Listeners, we thank you as well. Join us again here next week in the Family Room, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright. For more info, go to thequestatlanta.com.